Right now, 6:17 on a Tuesday morning with the Musers. Time for the Observation Deck with Gordo. Brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Supercenter.
Speaking of Abe Lincoln, I know that this show seems to be a little bit cautionary about AI and the uses of AI, but have to admit, AI scored a win when 1P1 used it to recreate the scene of Abe Lincoln in a golf cart with Kurt Cobain heading to a pottery class, a sculpture class. Kurt Cobain has modeling clay sitting in his lap in the golf cart.
They look like they're having a great time.
They are, yeah. And Abe Lincoln's having fun, so heaven looks like a great place.
And I got a golf cart.
So,
what if heaven is like that? You get passed by a golf cart driven by Abe Lincoln and Kurt Cobain sitting next to him.
Yes. To the pottery class or whatever. But AI is very, very...
We're against it.
It's very serious. It's very serious. Okay, sticking with acting for just a moment, as George told us about the impressive acting in Wuthering Heights, which had a lot of shirtless actors.
Just one.
On horseback. we have to talk about the... this will be repeated in Muse and the News, some of this information, but the death of Robert Duvall at 95, that's a big one for me personally, too, because I am a huge Lonesome Dove fan. And of all of the great roles that Robert Duvall played in movies, you know, he won an Oscar in Tender Mercies. He was in The Godfather, of course, The Great Santini, Apocalypse Now. One of the most famous movie lines in history was uttered by Robert Duvall. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. To me, his greatest role was on television, and that was the miniseries Lonesome Dove. Came out in 1989. It was based on the book, the novel by Larry McMurtry, and he played Augustus McCrae, the cowboy. And that is such an amazing character, Augustus McCrae, and Robert Duvall completely did it justice.
He did win a Golden Globe for that.
Yes, won a Golden Globe for that. And
you're telling
me
that still holds up? If we go back and watch that now,
gosh,
it holds up.
It is. You know what? I really, in order to be critical here, I don't know if it holds up because I love it so much that I cannot. It's one of the few things that I think I cannot go back and watch objectively because I have so much emotional association with that miniseries and I know every line backwards and forwards. And so I know the special effects won't hold up. There's a few little scenes of special effects that look cheesy and they look cheesy even back then. But I was just so impressed that they made this 6-hour miniseries or 8 hours, however long it was, for television. And it is so good.
What kind of special effects did they use for a Western?
There was, of course, the big scene where lightning spreads across the herd of cattle, and you can see the lightning between all their horns.
Okay.
When the electricity travels from body to body, there's that. There was another scene where some buzzards are supposed to be circling in the sky far away, and they look real dubbed in.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that.
Nobody has a laser gun or anything.
No, no. No, there wasn't one futuristic cowboy that came back with a laser gun.
There's a cowboy tie-in, a Dallas Cowboys tie-in with Lonesome Dove.
Really?
That's what Tom Landry was watching in 1989 when he was called at home saying, hey, I think this guy named Jerry Jones is buying the team, and the report is that you're out as head coach.
Mm.
I said, well, that's the first I've heard of it.
Nah, I'm watching Lonesome Dove right now. I can't do a Landry. You can imitate
pretty good.
Landry. Yeah, and
he was into it.
There's another tie-in to Lonesome Dove, a sports tie-in. Now I cannot remember who Robert Duvall. I mean, he has very identifiable mannerisms, and he's a raconteur. He's funny, holding court all the time, his character in that show. And he said in an interview that he based those mannerisms on a coach. I don't think it was Daryl Royal. I don't know who he said it was.
Bear Bryant, maybe?
No, I cannot remember now. But yeah, there's a sports tie-in too about how, I mean, because the Augustus McCrae movements, the way he moves his hands throughout the whole thing, it's interesting when he's talking. Hmm. He has an interesting way of gesticulating. And he said, yeah, I kind of got that from this coach that he knows. It was like a Texas college coach, it seemed like.
So according to AI, he based Gus McCray on legendary NFL quarterback and punter Sammy Baugh.
Sammy Baugh, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
After meeting the Hall of Famer, he patterned Gus's mannerisms, voice, and gestures after the 70-year-old rancher.
Okay.
I knew there was a sports tie in there.
Interesting.
Slinging Sammy Baugh.
So then I come into work this morning, which I really should be taking a grief day.
Yeah, I guess you could.
And I asked Giorgio if he's ever seen Lonesome Dove, and you said, yeah, I think I saw it back in 89 when it came out.
No, I did. It was a big television event.
It's huge.
I watched it, but I've not seen it since.
And I just don't know I can be friends with you if you haven't seen that about 50,000 times.
Craig had neither.
I haven't either. When I was trying to plow my way through the book, and I got 270 pages in, and it hadn't kicked in yet, I kind of gave up there, but I recorded the miniseries, so I have it still on my DVR.
Really?
At home. And maybe in honor of Robert Duvall, I will watch it, because it's got to be better than the book.
Dude. That's your recommendation for the miniseries. I haven't seen it, but it's got to be better than the book.
So I will watch it for you.
I recommend this way to most people who, if there's a movie option and there's a book option, always watch the movie first.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Because you watch the movie, and if you love it, if you love the material and the story and everything, then you read the book and you'll get new things out of it. You know, you'll get some deeper context and you'll enjoy the book because it feels like supplemental material in a way.
Okay.
And if you do it the other way around, you read the book and you love it and everything, you're almost guaranteed to be annoyed with whatever film adaptation they've done of the book, because all you can think about is, okay, that's not right. Okay, that's a deviation. That's a deviation. Yeah. Wait, they left out so-and-so? What? And you don't enjoy what could be an enjoyable piece of art, which is this great film that's made of it, but you can't enjoy that film.
That makes sense. It's a four-part miniseries?
It is, yes.
And they're each about 2 hours, maybe?
I think about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Without commercials, you know. Mm.
So in the miniseries, do we get halfway through and we're still waiting for them to start the cattle drive?
No.
Or how does that work?
I think that they leave on the cattle drive at the end of the first episode.
Okay, so it's a little quicker pace than the book.
Yes. Yes. You know, the book, you get the characters' inner thoughts and a lot of their backstory.
Oh, boy, do you.
It's great.
And they shot it just west of here, right?
Yes, and they there is down in San Marcos at, what do they call that college now?
Texas State.
Texas State. Had a different name back in the day, I think.
Southwest Texas State.
Yeah. They have the Bill Whitliff collection, and he was the guy who, I think, produced it and wrote it for the screen, the small screen. And he has a lot of the props and a lot of the stuff, and they have like a Lonesome Dove museum there at that college in San Marcos.
Okay.
And you can go see it. It's really, really cool. I mean, it's such a fantastic story and sweeping. And I just figured that every guy was obsessed with Lonesome Dove. That was our soap opera. That was our, it was still real to me, damn it. Like any grown man who doesn't cry during Lonesome Dove at some point, because it's about friendships, it's about longing for a woman, even though you have a woman that is a great woman, but he still loved this girl from way back in his past and he couldn't get over her. And it's about the friendship between Gus McCray, played by Duvall, and Tommy Lee Jones' character, Woodrow Call. They have a real tense friendship, but it somehow works. They're both completely different personalities, but they own this cattle company together.
Does the Prince song kick in at the beginning or the end? Is that how the movie ends, with when doves cry and they're riding off into the sunset?
No, okay. I don't think that's part of the soundtrack.
I have now officially ceased talking to you in case someone needs to score it at home.
Oh, Diane Lane's in this movie. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's where I first remember her from. I didn't remember her from any role before that, even though I know she had some.
Robert Urich, okay.
Robert Urich's in it, yes.
Okay.
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover is great in it. You will love him in that. He's so lovable in that. And they had a small bit part by one James McMurtry.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember you talking about that?
He's a kid then, right? Or is
he was probably 20 years old,
okay,
or so.
Wow, Steve Buscemi, Barry Corbin, Glenn Headley.
Yeah.
That's quite a lineup.
Angelica Houston.
Good. Oh, yeah. It was chock full of famous people. It was amazing that this was a TV deal.
It was a big deal.
So that's Robert Duvall's greatest role, and I believe that's the one he identified as his greatest role.
He said that was his favorite?
Yeah. He said that Lonesome Dove, to him, was like Shakespeare. He thought that role was as big as Hamlet.
Wow.
To get Augustus McCrae. And I want to say he actually auditioned for Tommy Lee Jones' part, which was the reserved button-down Captain Woodrow F. Call. But he gets the role of Gus, and I can't imagine it being any other way, because Gus was so funny and personable. But yeah, watch Lonesome Dove in honor. You know, take just a few 8 hours out of your afternoon this afternoon and quickly watch Lonesome Dove to honor Robert Duvall. All right, and in tech news, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go with this because it's a shorter story.
By the way, can I add, we had another major death.
We did.
And we'll hit that in Muse in the News.
That hits this show, even.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
it's related to this show.
And this morning I am looking for the photo of me with this person and Adrian Peterson. So if anybody has it, if they can send it to me.
It's out there, I know, because I know I put it on my Twitter several times. Do you want the full one or the joke one?
I'd like the full one, because then I can make the joke one out of the full one.
Okay. All right. Yes, there's a picture of you and this very notable... we won't tell you who it is, but they are very notable, and they're related to the civil rights movement, and they ran for president one time, and they read Green Eggs and Ham on Saturday Night Live, and they hilarious. Conducted an Adrian Peterson interview for us without our consent.
Well, kind of with your consent.
I just thought it'd be funny to add him into the mix. I didn't know that he would think that he is the whole mix. Now I've run out of time for my condom story. All right, Muse and News. I'll tell you an exciting new bit of information about condoms at the Olympics.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll learn about Olympians' privates.
Okay.
Next.